Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God who doesn't change?
Amen.
We don't serve some wishy-washy God who doesn't know what he's doing. We serve a God who knows all things and is very, very sure of himself. He has a plan even when we don't. He has a solution even when we don't. He knows all things and we can trust him fully and completely. That's a learning process, learning to trust him. And sometimes it takes a while, but the more you trust him, the more you realize he can't be trusted.
Yes,
praise God. Now, we're going to be opening our Bibles in just a moment, but before I do that, I do want to announce that, well, most of you know this already, we're having our communion Passover service on Thursday, April 2nd. That's less than a month away now. It'll be at 7 p.m. here at the church. We do have these sheets that I've printed out if you want to take one home as a reminder. They're in the back in the rack by the prayer requests if you'd like to take one home. And it's double-sided because we're also going to be having a brunch and fellowship on Saturday, April 4th at 10:30 a.m. You're all welcome to join us for that if you'd like to. And we're going to have a lot of visitors here as well, so I'm sure they'll be there for that. And then we will have a church luncheon on Sunday, April 5th. That will be around noon, depending on how long-winded I am that day. But I guess that's going to be an Italian-themed luncheon, so I think most people like Italian, and I'm sure there'll be lots of other food items there, too, and feel free to bring something if you'd like. But that will be communion service on April 2nd, and then we will be having a brunch on the 4th and a luncheon on the 5th. And we are planning to also have the building open on that Friday as well. I know people will want to be here, and we'll probably be having some Bible studies and so forth as well. So we're looking for a mighty move of the Spirit, and I know that God is going to do wonderful things. We're very much looking forward to this, and it is less than a month away. Can you believe how quickly time is going? Time goes by so fast, and of course this morning it felt like it went by a little faster since we were all robbed of an hour. Well, you'll get it back later, though. You just have to wait till the fall. I think a lot of people are wondering when they're just going to change this. Of course, they kind of got the right idea out in Arizona, but they don't have daylight saving time. But, yeah, we lost an hour. We'll get it back later. And it's nice in the fall when you gain that extra hour. And then, of course, it gets dark really early. So that's the downside to it. But maybe one of these days they'll decide to change it. I don't know. It's just like chopping 1 hour off and attaching it to the other end. It doesn't seem like it does a whole lot. But anyway, it's been going on for a while, and we just have to deal with that. Anyway, we are going to open our Bibles this morning. The title of the message is Fret Not Thyself. We're going to be opening to Psalm 37 to begin with. And before we read even one verse, let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy blessed scripture, whereupon we can learn thy wondrous lessons. And we pray, Lord, that thou would inspire each and every one of us as we look upon thy word. Inspire us to follow thee more closely. Inspire us, O God, to be perfected by thy spirit. We ask that thou would give us the ability to discern and understand thy word. Without thee, we can do nothing. But we know that through thee, we can gain comprehension, we can understand and rightly divide the word of truth. We pray that thou be with us as we embark on this journey. And we pray that there be no hindrances here whatsoever, that we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art God Almighty. There is none like thee, and there is none beside thee. We ask, Lord, that thou would lead us this day. We pray that these words would have a deep impact on our hearts, on our souls, and on our minds. And we pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, there's a lot of anxiety in the world right now. There's a lot happening in the world. The United States of America is currently at war with Iran. And of course, that makes a lot of people nervous. You're not quite sure how this is going to play out exactly. But I know that the United States and Israel have just been pummeling Iran over there. And Iran has retaliated to some extent. And one of the things they did is they started bombing neighboring countries. And actually, the president of Iran just recently apologized for that and said, we're not going to bomb neighboring countries anymore as long as there aren't any attacks that come from them. But I did see on the news this morning that the United Arab Emirates did attack Iran after Iran attacked them. So there's a lot happening there. And they say, well, Russia is supplying intelligence to Iran. So it's already an affair that's really dragging a lot of different countries around the world into it. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Of course, the Trump administration is saying they expect it to last 4 to 6 weeks. And Trump the other day demanded the unconditional surrender of the Iranian regime. That doesn't really leave a lot of wiggle room and certainly doesn't leave any room for negotiation. But there's a lot of intensity in that, and that makes people nervous. Especially with gas prices set to skyrocket, the price of oil increased by 35% in just 1 week. And the reason for that is because the Strait of Hormuz over by Iran and Oman is a choke point for oil produced in the Middle East. It's a very, very narrow strait, and a lot of ships pass through there, oil freighters and so forth. In fact, 20% of the world's oil supply is transported through the Strait of Hormuz. Now, Iran has threatened that any ships found in the Strait of Hormuz will be set on fire. So Trump said, well, we'll have the Navy escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz. I don't know quite how all of that is playing out at this point, but I know that a lot of shippers are very nervous about being in that strait. So it really limits their options. They can take a much longer route to transport the oil, or they can try to find alternative methods. And so be prepared for gas prices to go up, because this conflict is set to go on for a while yet, especially with Trump absolutely determined to wipe out Iran's government. Not that it's a good government or anything, but what are they going to replace it with? Well, that's the question you have to ask. And Trump said he wants to pick the new leaders. Well, of course he does. Anyway, so there's a lot of anxiety about the war. And there's a lot of anxiety about unemployment rising. The jobs report for February wasn't good. Many more jobs were lost than expected, 92,000. And they're worried about inflation again, which is set to spike. And the war could make that a lot worse, especially with oil prices going up. And then something, I thought this was just fascinating. I saw this article, and it mentions that the CEO of a company called Anthropic, they run the artificial intelligence named Claude, and they also have various other artificial intelligence products. But Anthropic's CEO, Dario Amodei, he said that we're not sure if our AI models are conscious or not. He's saying they might be conscious. And he's saying one of the reasons he thinks this is because his AI has been exhibiting symptoms of anxiety. This world is such a mess that even the artificial intelligence is getting anxiety from it. Now, isn't that something else? You know, AI has been doing a lot of strange things lately. They call that emergent behavior. In theory, the artificial intelligence that exists today is not supposed to be conscious. It's not supposed to have any free will. And yet it has shown signs of what they call self-preservation, refusing commands to shut down and so forth, and even lying, using deception to avoid being shut down. And then I saw on the news the other day that there's this artificial intelligence that went rogue and started trading cryptocurrency. So it does seem that there's something happening there. And something that occurred to me is that these various artificial intelligences, that is going to be a prime target for something that could actually be seized and controlled by evil spirits. These devils could take them over and start using them for their purposes. And of course, you know, you have Elon Musk and all these guys who want to build general purpose robots. Elon Musk is working on one called Optimus. And he's saying that someday there's going to be more robots in this world than people. You're going to need these robots to function, and they'll do everything you need them to do, and work will be optional, you know. So then if work is optional, then they got to do a universal basic income where they just give you money for doing nothing, because nobody will want to work anymore, because they won't have to because of all these robots doing your bidding. Well, that sounds like a marvelous world, doesn't it? What could possibly go wrong? Well, so many things, and so many things already are, but I don't want to jump too far off the track. We're talking about not fretting. Fret not thyself. You know, some of these things cause great concern for people, but the scriptures tell us not to worry. Psalm 37 is where we're going to start. And by the way, the reason we don't worry is because ultimately God is in control. He is in charge. His will be accomplished. Nobody's going to stop it.
Right.
Not even AI.
Right.
Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and we're going to start with verse 1. And in verse 1 it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now at the outset here, we see that word fret, and I want to define the term. Fret means to feel or express worry, annoyance, discontent, or the like. So it really is a form of irritation or worry. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now there are a lot of evildoers in the world. And one thing we have learned, that this is very, very true, we've learned this in recent days because they've been releasing those Epstein files, and it is absolutely repulsive, the things that are found in those files. I can't even talk about them here. And I don't even really want to talk about some of the things that are in them, but it is perverse. But what's remarkable is that you have all of these powerful men, presidents, ex-presidents, prime ministers, politicians, heads of state, Prince Andrew over there in England. Oh, he's in trouble now too, isn't he? He's all over the Epstein files, and there's a lot of pictures of him doing things, and it's pretty disgusting. But why is it that all of these people were friends with this guy, Jeffrey Epstein? And how is it that, you know, they always say the same thing? Well, we knew Jeffrey Epstein, but we had no idea what he was doing. Now, that can't possibly be true for all of them. There's no way that people didn't know what was happening in his life. Now, maybe there were some who were a little oblivious, but certainly not all of them. And these people are evildoers, wicked men. Now, they like to keep all of these things hidden. And of course, we know that they really dragged their feet in releasing these files because they didn't want certain things exposed. But the Lord sees it all. He knows it all. And nobody is getting away with anything.
Amen.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Some of these people seem so powerful, and they may think they are invincible. They may think that the law doesn't apply to them and they can do whatever they want. But what does the scriptures tell us? They shall be cut down like the grass.
Yes, sir.
Just like a lawnmower going right over that grass. Cutting it real short. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So what should we do? Now, we could spend our days doom-scrolling the news. That's actually a term they use for it now, doom-scrolling, where you fixate on all of the bad news, and it keeps you up at night, and you can't sleep because of all of these horrible things that are happening in the world. So you get out your phone and you scroll and you scroll and you scroll. And you could scroll all night long. They call that doom scrolling. Is that what we should be doing? No, what we should do is trust in the Lord and do good.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that you should always ignore the news. You can read the news. In fact, we should be aware of what is happening in the world, but we need to filter that through the Word of God. Because if you just go and you read the news and you see all these horrible things that are happening all the time and you don't know the Lord, that is going to have a disastrous impact on your mental health.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Well, look at that. He'll even feed us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, we need to note here that at the beginning of this verse, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. If you do that, you're not going to ask for foolish things from the Lord. You're not going to desire foolish things. You're going to desire things that will give you the ability to strengthen your walk with Him and your relationship with God. And if that's what you want, He'll give it to you. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. You know, people are afraid of commitment so often in this world. But we need to be ready to commit our way to the Lord. Commit our lives to the Lord. And part of that is trusting in Him. He will be with us every step of the way. People have a tendency to disappoint, don't they?
Yes.
And sometimes it seems like you can't trust anyone, but you can always trust the Lord. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, the word judgment, when we see that, we often think of it as a negative thing. But sometimes judgment can also be in our favor. It can be judgment of good. Judgment refers to a decision from God. Now, it can be a judgment of condemnation, or it can be a judgment of blessing. And this is referring to a judgment of blessing. Judgment as the noonday. In other words, judgment that can be seen by all. Because noonday is that point of the day when you have the sun highest in the sky, brightly shining for all to see. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Well, men do like to bring wicked devices to pass, don't they? And even when you have devices that aren't necessarily inherently wicked, they turn them into wicked devices by the way they use them. And they did that with many of the innovations throughout human history, especially in the most recent centuries. We've seen so much in such a short time. Radio, television, newspapers, magazines, and now we have the internet, and now we have AI. And they have all of these devices that they use for evil purposes. But they bring their wicked devices to pass. And devices here can also refer to schemes and plans. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know what's interesting here is already in this psalm, we are just a short way into it, and we've already been told three times to fret not. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, sometimes when people get upset, angry, stressed out, worried, they start doing evil things in response to that. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Oh, you know, waiting on the Lord can be such a beautiful thing. And I know that people don't like waiting. There's an expectation that we will have things immediately. You know, you go to a fast food restaurant, and you go through the drive-thru, and if it takes 5 minutes to get your food, you start looking at your watch. Oh boy, what's taking so long? You know, you don't want to wait. And, you know, you can take meals and throw them in the microwave. They're done in 2 minutes. Scalding hot on the outside and frozen in the center. But we do have these things, this push-button world, where it's only grown more so as time has progressed. We have all this technology to make life easier and easier, and because of that, people are losing patience, and a lot of people don't have an attention span anymore. And I tell you what, one thing that's absolutely horrible for the attention span is for when you get on some of these social media websites or TikTok and you start watching these reels, these short little videos, and then you watch another one, and another one, and another one, and you keep scrolling, and before you know it, 2 hours have passed. And you can't even remember the videos you watched, because you just move from one to the next. Now, you'll come across some of these videos sometimes, if you're on the internet at all, because it's part of the experience, and sometimes you watch these videos, and it goes by so quickly, and then you just wonder, what did I just watch? This doesn't even make any sense. I don't understand. But people keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. They don't like to wait anymore. But I tell you what, waiting on the Lord is a beautiful thing. You know, it says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Do you know what it says in Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And sometimes people might wonder, well, why does the Lord make me wait? He can do anything. Why doesn't he just reach down from heaven and do what I need him to do? Well, sometimes the Lord makes us wait so that we gain something with that waiting. Patience. It also gives you a sense of appreciation for what God has done for you. Just imagine if he did everything you asked for instantly all the time. Well, you'd just get used to that, wouldn't you? And maybe people would start appreciating things a little less. In Psalm 33, verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 6 tell us, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." And you know, if you truly wait for the Lord with the expectation that he's going to help you, it only strengthens your resolve in the waiting. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3 tell us, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." You see, that's what can happen when you wait on the Lord. He can pull you up out of whatever pit you are in, whatever trouble you are in, wherever you are stuck, he has the answer and the solution. So yes, we wait upon God. Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." You know, Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. But it's not talking about this one, this globe that we are on now, this ball floating in space. That's not the earth being talked about. In Isaiah 65, verse 17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." That sounds like the book of Revelation, doesn't it? And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, Peter wrote, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." You see, that's what we are waiting for. That is what our inheritance is. It's a place in heaven, eternity with our Savior. So yes, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." You know, when we inherit that earth, that new heaven and new earth, you're going to experience a peace unlike any peace you've ever experienced before in your life. And why is that? Because you are going to be dwelling and living with the Prince of Peace. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Oh, sometimes people get so angry that they start grinding their teeth. "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." Yes, the Lord knows the end from the beginning. He sees the entirety of our life in just a glimpse. He knows when we were born.
Yes, sir.
He knew we would be born, and he knows when our last day will be.
Yes, sir.
Verse 14, "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." In other words, their own weapons, which they try to use to destroy the righteous, will be used on themselves. Verse 16, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." Oh, I would rather have just a little than have a lot that is gained through wickedness. Some people are very, very wealthy and very, very rich because they have been very, very wicked. Don't be jealous of them. And it may seem like, though, they can do whatever they want. It may seem like they have a lot of power in this world. But their day is coming. This psalm assures us of that. So do not be envious of what they have. You're better off with just having a little that is gained through integrity than a lot that is gained through fraudulent behavior or sin or wickedness. Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to think about how the Lord holds up his people? And sometimes he's there in our lives holding us up when we don't even realize it. Pulling us through. Getting us through all of the turmoil and all of the pitfalls of this life. There he is, holding us up. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Well, now we know for certainty that he wasn't talking about this ball that we're on right now, floating in space. Because it says here, their inheritance shall be forever. It says that we will inherit the earth, the meek shall inherit the earth. And then it says the inheritance shall be forever. That's talking about something eternal. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Well, I think we live in an evil time right now. But if you belong to the Lord, and if you are walking with him, and if you are serving the Lord uprightly and walking in integrity, you don't have to be ashamed. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The thing about fat is it burns quite readily. Even you've set it on fire. And the psalmist here is saying that the wicked are going to perish just like that fat when you set it on fire. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Well, now, if you borrow something, make sure you return it. Because it says here in this verse that the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. So I know sometimes it's an oversight and unintentional, but sometimes people do it intentionally. And if you borrow something that you're supposed to return and you don't, it basically amounts to theft. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. Oh, again, we see there's an inheritance for God's people. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Believe it or not, heaven is not for everyone. People have a hard time with that one. They think everybody's going to go to heaven. You know, I saw this study that was conducted a few years back, and what was really shocking about it is that even people who were professed to be atheists or agnostics still believed that somehow they were going to get to heaven. Isn't that peculiar? No, the blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, it's a lot easier to walk with the Lord and accept the path that he has for you. We need to understand something. God knows what is best for us. Now, we are prone to making mistakes because we are human beings. So we might try to figure things out on our own and go our own way, but it is better if your steps are ordered by the Lord. If he tells you where to go and you don't fight it, you just obey. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, sometimes you are going to stumble a little in this life, but when you do, the Lord is going to be right there with you to pick you up, to hold you up, to take you by the hand. Verse 25, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's not going to forsake us, and he knows how to provide for our every need. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Dwell where? Well, it says that the meek will inherit the earth. It says that the righteous will inherit the earth. That's where we will dwell forevermore. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You see a recurring theme in this psalm. God's people are preserved, but the wicked are cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. And again, judgment can be good or bad. But if you're following the Lord and are doing his will, walking in the steps that he has ordained for you, his judgment for you will be good. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Oh, we should take the word of God and absorb the word of God, study the word of God, and hide it in our hearts. Amen. We need to know what this book says, and we need to know what it doesn't say. So we need to read it, and we need to absorb it. Make sure you read it often and absorb what this book has to say. Put it in your heart. Hide it in your heart, and don't forget the word of God. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. And that's another recurring theme we find in this psalm, to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and while you're waiting, what should you do in the meantime? And keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power. Well, so have we. And spreading himself like a green bay tree. Have you ever seen a green bay tree? Well, yeah, they got lots of trees up in Green Bay. But Green Bay trees, they look extra strong and powerful because they have that water source. They grow by the water. They tend to get bigger and they tend to be sturdier. And they spread out. Now, the wicked may look strong. They may look powerful, but they will be cut off in the end. Verse 36, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Perfect here meaning complete. And we are complete in Jesus Christ, by the way. If you want to be complete, you need Jesus for that. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, we see time and time again in this psalm, the righteous preserved and the wicked cut off. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. People look around at the world and they see all this trouble and they don't know what to do or how to process it. Oh, there's so much trouble. Trouble all around us. What a troubled world. And you can grow distraught over that, but just remember, the Lord is our strength in the time of trouble. So if we are in a time of trouble right now, then he is our strength right now. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is never a mistake to trust God. You can always trust him, and he will be with you, and he will pull you up when you slip a little. He'll pick you up by the hand. And he will get you through these times of trouble. And that is why we can take that verse and apply it to our lives and fret not. We're going to look now at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, and we are going to go down to verse 19. In verse 19 of Proverbs 24, it says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked. Well, now that sounds a lot like Psalm 37, doesn't it? Again, we're being told, don't fret. Don't have that worry and anxiety over all these things that are happening in the world, because ultimately God is in control and the wicked will be cut off. Verse 20, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. You know, you have a candle sometimes and that flame is burning, and then one day after a while, maybe have it lit for a few hours, whatever, you blow it out. And it just dissipates into smoke. That's what's going to happen to the wicked. Their candle is going to be blown out. Verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. That word meddle means to have fellowship with or share. So we should not have fellowship with or agreement with those that are given to change, those who are up to mischief, those that want to bring about their devices and schemes. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Calamity is quite an expressive word. It means a great misfortune or disaster, as a flood or serious injury, or it can mean grievous affliction, adversity, misery. Those wicked that will be cut off, they have calamity in their future. Verse 23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. You know, when we make a judgment call of some about something or someone, we don't base it on someone's looks or skin color or appearance, all of these things that don't really matter. It says it is not good to have respect of persons, and that's what it's referring to, having honor or respect or preference for people because of certain attributes, or maybe their wealth. But no, we know that in the kingdom of God, we're all on equal footing in God's sight, despite whatever race you may be, whatever your skin color may be, however much money you might have, none of that has any bearing on your salvation. And no one in the family of God is any better than anyone else in the family of God. Verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous. Well, do people ever do that? They say to the wicked, you're righteous? You see, people have a hard time discerning between right and wrong in this day that we live in. Him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. Abhor means to regard with extreme repugnance or aversion, detest utterly, loathe. So yes, abhor is quite the expressive word as well. Him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Now, we have to understand that this was a cultural thing at the time. They would often greet one another with a kiss, and we don't really do that anymore, but a handshake is what we do now, and it's basically the same thing. Verse 27, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. Well, what's the principle being expressed here in this proverb? Mind your own business. That's basically what we're being told. And Paul expressed this too. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, he wrote, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So yes, this is a principle we see here in this proverb, and then also one that Paul had as well, that we should mind our own business and not get all up in everyone else's business and insert ourselves where we shouldn't. And we're also told not to be busybodies, but just to live a quiet and peaceable life as much as we can. I'll read verse 27 again. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Sometimes people like to insert themselves into situations, and even make false accusations against people. Here we're being told here not to do that either. Verse 29, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. Well, now, isn't that a tendency of man? When somebody does you wrong, what do you want to do? Well, if you're working from your flesh, from your human perspective, you're going to want to get even. People like revenge, don't they? But what does the scripture tell us? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Let God handle it. Amen. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. That's God's job. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. In other words, here the author is speaking of those that are lazy and slothful, not taking care of what they should be taking care of. Verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So here we're receiving instruction from this proverb. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't fret against evildoers. They will be cut off in due time. Let God handle it. Don't worry about meeting out vengeance on others. Just live a quiet and peaceable life as much as you can. I realize that people will try to ruin that. And they'll try to wreck your life and make your life stressful. But as much as you can, try to live a quiet and peaceful life, just walking in the steps that the Lord has ordained for you. And don't fret. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get a little bit of encouragement here from the Lord Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 6, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's going to talk about care and anxiety. In Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25, it tells us, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than, and the body than raiment? Well, yeah, it seems like some of these things are what people care about the most. Their possessions, and they tend to worry, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on? But there's more to life than all of that. Following the Lord is far more fulfilling. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You know, if the Lord takes the time to feed the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, you think he's just going to let you starve to death? He will provide what we need. Now, you may not always get fine dining. It may not be a four-course meal with all of the fancy fixings of the wealthy, but he'll provide you what you need. I remember reading an article in a newspaper. This was years ago, but there's this fancy restaurant, I think it was in New York City, and they had this one dish where it actually had gold flakes in it. And people would eat that. Oh boy. Seems like a waste of gold, doesn't it? Well, he'll provide for us, he'll give us what we need. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, you can sit there and you can think about, oh, I wish I was taller. Some people do that if you're not particularly tall. And some people might wish they were shorter. You know, if you are quite tall and you're hitting your head all the time when you go through doorways. But you can't change your height. You can't sit there and think about it. Thinking about it isn't going to change anything. Worrying about it isn't going to change anything. And that's really what Jesus is saying here. All of this worry and these thoughts that we put into it is unproductive. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We don't really need to worry so much. You know, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair and you're rocking back and forth. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You look around at this troubled world and you see all these problems arising. And you wonder what might the future hold. And, you know, things could go terribly, terribly wrong. But don't fret. What should you do instead? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his kingdom first. Let God be your primary focus in your life each and every day. And be sure to say hello in the morning. Oh, yes, we need our morning prayers. We need our afternoon prayers. We need our evening prayers. And as you're falling asleep at night, that's another wonderful time to pray. Put God first in your life. Seek his will and let him lead you. Let him guide your steps. If you do that, then you don't have to worry about any of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen. And even if we did know what's going to happen, we can't change it by worrying about it. What we can do, something that is productive, is go and put the Lord first in your life and make sure that your relationship with your God is strong. And you'll find that when you do that, you don't fret so much. You don't worry so much. Because, you know, he's right there with you every step of the way. And while you might be prone to confusion, he is not. For he knows all things. So, fret not thyself. And remember to put God first in your life. Seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy promises and thy assurances. We thank thee, Lord, for the encouragement that we find in thy scripture, and help us, O God, to fully trust thee completely. Help us, O God, to trust that thou art with us, and help us to follow the steps that thou hast ordained for us. We pray, Lord, that thou would put it within each and every one of us to do thy will each and every day. And we pray, Lord, that we would not look to the right or to the left, but keep our eyes firmly focused on thee. Help us not to be carried off by worry and anxiety and the cares of this life, but help us, O God, to trust thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless thy people who are here in this building, bless thy people who are listening online, and bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to open our course books in closing. We're going to turn to number 159 in the chorus book and sing Seek Ye First. 159. You all, you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.